Surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such a liberation. Please repeat. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An intelligent man should utilize good opportunities. The first opportunity is the human form of life, and the second opportunity is to take birth in a suitable family where there is cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is rarely obtained. The greatest opportunity is to have the association of a saintly person. Devahuti was conscious that she was born as the daughter of an emperor. She was sufficiently educated and cultured, and at last she got Kardama Muni, a saintly person and great yogi, as her husband. Still, if she did not get liberation from the entanglement of material energy, then certainly she would be cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy. Actually, the illusory material energy is cheating everyone. People do not know that what they are doing when they worship the material energy in the form of goddess Kali or Durga for material boons. They ask, Mother, give me riches, give me a good wife, give me fame, give me victory. But such devotees of the goddess Maya or Durga do not know that they are being cheated by that goddess. Material achievement is actually no achievement, because as soon as one is illusioned by the material gifts, he becomes more and more entangled, and there is no question of liberation. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets for the purpose of spiritual realization. That is called karma yoga or jnana yoga. Whatever we have, we should use it as service to the Supreme Person. It is advised in the Bhagavad Gita, Svakarmanartam Abhriyacha. One should try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's assets. There are many forms of service to the Supreme Lord, and anyone can render service unto Him according to the best of his ability. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Devahuti's Lamentation. Translation again. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having attained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek liberation. Om Agyan Timanandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chaksu Umilitam Janatas Maya Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Am Him Strong Om Fat Om Tataka Hataka Kesha Vidalat Parikalachana Banadaka Naka Sparsadeva Singha Namastate Ugram Viram Mahavishnu Dalantam Sharvato Mukham Singham Pishanam Badram Mitra Mityam Namamyam. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the final verse of this chapter entitled Devahuti's lamentation. Mother Devahuti expresses her frustration. She says, Vanchita Maya Duridam. I have been subtly cheated by the illusory energy of the Lord. Now, the definition of cheating is when you place your faith in someone or something only to discover later on that person has let you down, deceived you. one of the greatest examples of cheating in modern history, relatively modern history, was the sale of the Eiffel Tower in France. I think it was in the 40s or 50s or something. There was one very devious, yet intelligent man, Frenchman, and he dressed up very nicely in a suit, and he went down to the Eiffel Tower, and he had his briefcase and his pen in his pocket and his spectacles, and he looked very authoritative. And different people, as always, were coming to the Eiffel Tower, and a group of English businessmen came. This is a true story, they were in Paris doing business, big businessmen. So this Frenchman, businessman, he walked up to them and he said, the government has authorized me to sell the Eiffel Tower because our government, as you know, is having very deep financial problems, and as a result of that, the French cabinet has decided we shall sell the Eiffel Tower. So, because he was a good speaker and so forth and so on, he had the right karma, he deceived them into thinking that actually he was selling the Eiffel Tower. And he was saying, but we need money very, very quickly. Very quickly. To save the situation in the government. So we're selling it at an amazing price. Only something like $2 million or something. So the English businessman, they're talking like this, and let's see, can we trust him? Oh, yes, he seems, I mean, look at the papers he's got, the briefcase, the way he's speaking. Must be, oh, look at the little badge he's wearing. So they said, okay, we'll buy it. They were thinking, you know, we'll make a restaurant. There wasn't a restaurant at that time. A restaurant, and we'll get all the tourism and so forth and so on. So then the French businessman, so-called businessman, he said, but it has to be done today because I have some other offers. Actually, they're giving more, but I'll sell it to you. Good price for you only. So they arranged by evening time, and he said, cash, either pounds or francs, whatever, dollars will also be good. Anyway, they gave him the cash, several million dollars, I don't remember the exact amount, and then he disappeared, never to be seen again. So they, you know, next day they started calling in different work groups to build a certain elevator, and you know, they were walking around, this and that, and the French police came and said, excuse us, sirs, what are you doing here? You're looking like you're going to start some construction on our Eiffel Tower. And they said, no, it's not your Eiffel Tower, now it belongs to the English. We have just bought it. And they said, what are you talking about? The government is not about to sell the emblem of, you know, French culture, this big ugly steel tower, the Eiffel Tower. And the big argument ensued, and some pushing and shoving. And actually these men landed up in jail for about 2 or 3 weeks until they were convinced that they'd been cheated. So this is a definition of cheating. Putting your faith in someone, some things, some concepts, some ideology, only to find out later that you've been duped, you've been tricked. But it is surprising, it's not surprising to us, but those who are not conversant with the Bhagavad Gita will be very surprised to hear that the greatest cheater of all is Krishna, who, in the form of the material energy, deludes the living entity into thinking that in this world of dukkalayam ashashvatam, this world of temporary world full of so many miseries, that he can be happy. This is the power of the illusory energy of the Lord called Maya. Prabhupada writes in his purports that the illusory energy, Maya, she has two main potencies. The first potency is to throw the living entity from the spiritual world into the material world, and the second is to cover that living entity with illusion, to make the living entity think that he is enjoying. Actually, it's quite amazing when you think about it. The spirit soul is completely transcendental to Maya. And as we know, in our attempt to get out of the trap of the illusory energy, we are victorious ultimately. Why? Because spirit is more powerful than Maya. The principle of spirit, the idea of transcendence, is more potent than that of matter. The spirit soul is transcendental to matter. So how is it then that the living entity who is transcendental to this material energy can be placed in the grip of material energy? No one in their right mind would come here. Like there's that saying, what is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? So what is the soul who originally enjoys one of the five transcendental relationships with the Lord in the spiritual world, doing here, identifying with this very gross and ugly material body, thinking that he's enjoying in this material world? How has this happened? Because Maya is very powerful. When we rebel against the Lord and his prema vivarta, the Jagannatha Pandit says, bahirmukha. When we turn our face from the Lord, which is an insult actually, if you're talking with someone and then, I'm talking to you. So he says, bahirmukha, we turn our face from the Lord, we want to be independent from the Lord. Then the Lord, he places us under the jurisdiction of his material energy, because we can never be completely independent. We're very tiny, infinitesimal. Just like when Prabhupada was a little boy, like some children, Gurukul, cover your ears, he didn't want to go to school. Prabhupada, when he was a little boy, sometimes, once or twice at the end of the year, he didn't want to go to school. So, you know, little boys are rambunctious and full of energy, and so his mother, she didn't know what to do. She couldn't catch him, she couldn't, you know. So she called Damodar. This is the last few days of the month of Damodar. Damodar was a local man who carried a rope on his side, and any children who wouldn't go to school, the mothers of the village would call up Damodar, and Mr. Damodar, not Lord Damodar, but Mr. Damodar, he would come and he'd tie the little children up, you know, affectionately but firmly, and he would pull them to school. So in the same way, when we become disobedient, like a concerned father, not necessarily to punish us and make us suffer, but as a concerned father, the Lord places us under the jurisdiction of the material energy. And thus, by her potency, she is empowered by the Supreme Lord. We come here. We fall from grace. But to add insult to injury, the mystic curtain of Maya placed over us. And somehow or other, as Narottam Das Thakur says in one of his songs, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. This is our very embarrassing situation. So this powerful material energy throws us from the material, from the spiritual world into the material world, and then covers us with this illusory energy, which basically takes the form of we can be happy here. It is so powerful. But this is Krishna. This is his cheating. Jutam chalayatam asmi tejas tejas vinam maham. He says in Gita, I am the gambling of cheats. In the purport to that verse of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, as the Supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man. If Krishna chooses to deceive a person, no one can surpass him in his deceit. In fact, this illusory energy of the Lord is so powerful that even the most intelligent person is deceived. Tesham Satada Yuktanam. The Lord is giving me intelligence in the heart for his devotee to come back to Godhead, but he's also giving me intelligence for the materialist to forget him. Sarvashacham vidhi sanivishto matashnitir ginam apohanam cha. Krishna, sit in the heart, says, I, when sit in the heart, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Even to forget the Lord, we must depend upon the mercy of the Lord, even to try to forget Him. He gives us the intelligence to create so many atheistic philosophies. There's so many different types of atheistic philosophies. But where is the intelligence coming from? It's coming from the Lord. Oh, you want to forget me? Okay. And we have made up some materialistic or atheist philosophy. His listener is so deceitful that Muyanti yat suraya tejuvadi midam yata. The first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. By him, even great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire or land seen on water. This nice analogy is given. Analogy helps us understand some philosophical concept which we may not be able to grasp. So a material analogy is given to give some idea, like a dictionary. When you take it, you've never seen a horse, so you look up H-O-R-S-E. Horse. A four-legged animal with a long mane, a long tail, a nose here, two eyes there, what makes the sound, neigh. No, but you've never seen a horse. You get some, at least you've got some idea what a horse is. So, how is illusion working? Prabhupada said, Maya means to accept something for what it is not. Well, that's pretty philosophical for me. I mean, I just started chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam a few weeks ago. Accepting something for what it is not? What does that mean? That means, like seeing water in fire or land on water. Oh, land on water. I used to be a sailor, and sometimes on the water, it looked like there was land. We'd think, land ho! And we'd sail and we'd sail and sail and sail, and my God, there was no land. I asked the captain what it was, and he said it was simply the reflection of the light on the water. If you've done sailing, you know sometimes the light reflects, it looks like there's a landmass. Or we may have experience of a desert. On the desert, it looks like, because of the reflection of the sun, it looks like there's water. That's called a mirage. And many animals and many persons stranded in the desert has lost their lives, their last energy, by trying to pursue that so-called water, the illusory water. They walk and walk, but oh, there, well, you can see it, there it is. Let's go, walk. After 10 hours, kapoops. I never reach the water. So our situation is the same. We're thinking, oh, there's happiness. I just get that girl. Oh, man. And Brahma said, those who have are wishing they didn't have, and those who don't have are wishing they did have. That's the Bengali proverb. I just get that boy. If I just get that house, if I land that job, I just finish school, but it's like the carrot in front of the rabbit or whatever, the horse, or the dog as he runs the race. You never get it. So, Muyanti yat suraya tejavadi midam yata. Not only you and me, but Brahma, Indra, Surya, Vivishwan, how intelligent are they? How intelligent is Brahma? He has four heads. Even if you're the most important, most intelligent person, you've only got one. Like Einstein, they couldn't believe how intelligent this person is. Of course, the only really intelligent thing he said, God rest his soul, was after studying this material creation all my life, I have come to the conclusion there must be an intelligent being behind it. He's considered one of the geniuses of modern age. But his most important statement I think that there's God. Thank you, Mr. Einstein. You can learn that in the Bhakti course at 15 years of age when you join Bhakti Vedanta Manor. And you can go on to learn who that person is, what he looks like, what he does, what are his loving pastimes. But you take, he had one intelligence. Brahma, he had four minds. Somehow they're all coordinated. Four minds are coordinated. That in itself is something quite extraordinary. But even sometimes he is deluded, he is cheated. We know once, with all due respect, because our Brahma, of course, is a pure devotee, but previously he ran after his own daughter, Vak. Quite an embarrassment for him. As a result, he shedded his subtle body where the sinful desires reside, in our subtle, in our mind, our intelligence, and ego. And that subtle body, he gave it up, that became the fog of Britain. Your country is blanketed with the false ego of Lord Brahma. And that's why when you're driving in to get to London, you're cursing, "This fog, I can't see a thing." Oh, it was the fog who did it. Yes. Lord Brahma's sinful desires take the form of fog. And Britain is famous. London is famous for its fog. They're proud of it. The London fog. I saw one restaurant. The London fog. Oh, you're pointing. London fog? That's the sin of Brahma chasing after Vak. Huh? Indra, we know, you simply look at Indra, his sinful reactions are quite obvious. He has the eyes all over his body. And in this way, the demigods are themselves tricked often by the illusory form of the Lord. So she promises happiness. We serve her loyally. And in the end, we get only grief. Therefore, Maya is sometimes called Durga. It means that she's in charge of the prison house. And sometimes she's also called Rudrini. Rudra, she's the wife of Shiva. But Shiva's wife is the material energy personified. He's a very humble devotee. And his wife is called Durga, or sometimes Rudrani. Rudrani means what? She who makes you cry forever. Who are you the servant of? Mrs. Rudrani. Really. And who is she? Oh, she is who makes me cry forever. Oh, really? But you're her servant. Yes, I'm enjoying myself. So Devahuti, who, as you know, because this is the last verse in this chapter, she's realized this. This is something significant. Actually, this is half the battle. Half the battle is to realize the illusory energy of the Lord. We said last night at the Romford program, the spiritual master's duty is to teach his disciple the illusory nature of material life and the reality of the spiritual world. Because people have things upside down, or as they say in Australia, back to front. We've got it all backwards. We're thinking that this is the reality, the material world, and the spiritual world is the illusion. God, religion, spiritual life, this is for less intelligent people, people who need something to lean on, old ladies, are the ones that go to the churches and the mosques and the temples. God? What is God? There's no God. So we have to convince the people, but we have to start by convincing ourselves, physician, heal thyself, that this is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. And that's Satchidananda, eternal world full of knowledge and bliss. So, we don't have much time. Before we can enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, first of all, we have to detach ourselves from the material world. Because spiritual life and material life don't go well together. They have a saying in English, strange bedfellows. So, material life and spirit. So first you have to give up the material desires in order to fully awaken our spiritual desires. And how much time do we have left? Time goes by very quickly. We were talking with Sri Prahlad the other day. I was thinking about when I first joined, you know, 69, 70. Wow, it seems like... I mean, because Krishna consciousness gives one the sense of eternity. You get the knowledge, you get the bliss, and you also get the sense of eternity. So, you start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Time goes by very quickly. There's no conception of time. Just like we completed our festival program. We did 64 festivals in 6 months. Each one of them, minimum 2,000-3,000 people. Sometimes 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 people. But it just went, because all we were doing was what? Chanting and dancing and feasting. So the time went very quickly. So Devahuti, she was lamenting, Vanchitamaya Dvidham. I've been trying to enjoy this sense gratification, but I've never reached the conclusion. I've never satiated my senses. Just like Hiranyakashipu. He's a good example. If we're going to pursue something, then we should look to those who have taken the same path and see where they're at the end. Pravritti Marg means the path to sense gratification. Oh, let's go for it! We can do it! Come on! You and me! Together. Forever. And then there's the path of the transcendentalist. So, when you're young, you have both choices. They're open to you. Let's go for it! We want it all! We want it now! Okay. Bye-bye. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. You'll go to heaven, I'll go to hell. Or vice versa, actually. We go for the sense gratification, where do we end up? We practice Krishna consciousness, where do we end up? Well, how do we really know? Look who's someone who's tread the path. Look at the personification of both those personalities. Sri Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, to understand something, you put them together and you compare them. Why did Prahlad appear in the family of demons? Devotee is supposed to take birth in a family of devotees. If you're a transcendentalist, you'll take birth in a very nice devotee family of Bhaktivedanta Manor. So why did Prahlad take birth in a family of asuras, demons? There's several reasons, but one of them was just so that we could compare the two, Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad, one of the Mahajans, the greatest of all devotees, and the greatest of all demons. If I called you the greatest of all demons, hey, what are you calling me the greatest? Hiranyakashipu, oh, thank you very much, Prahlad. He actually said to his father, oh, best of the asuras. Yes. Oh, best of Hiranyakashipu, those who enjoy a fine bedding and gold, money and women. Yes. We have the best of the devotees and the best of the materialists, side by side. Take your choice. Kashipu looks pretty cool. He's got a big handlebar mustache, and he's got a big sword, and long wavy hair, big muscles, and got all the money and everything. Yes. He conquered the three worlds. But Bhagavatam says, after all of that, he was frustrated. He couldn't enjoy that sense gratification. It describes his senses were still unsatiated. Well, I may not even be that successful. I may only get, 20% of what he got, or 10% of what he got. He's got it all, and he's still dissatisfied. Doesn't sound like I should follow that path. But Prahlad Maharaj, he had practically nothing. Everything was taken away. He was on the verge of death. What happened? Davakara kamala varena kamma bhutasingam dalita hiranyakashipu tanuringam. We see. He got the Supreme Lord in a very beautiful form. Beautiful. There's so much blood in that picture. But this Nisringadev, actually, it's a manifestation of Krishna's love and concern for his devotee. We think of him as the half man, ferocious. Yes, he's ferocious. But Sridhar Swami describes in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Nisringadev, like a lion, is very kind to her cubs, but she's very ferocious to her enemies. So similarly, the Lord, he's very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, but he's very soft and gentle to his devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So, she is feeling that I have been cheated. I have followed this path of sense gratification. And what do I have at the end? These are not just mythology or some stories. These are practical realizations of devotees. Of course we know Devahuti is a liberated soul. No Kadamas. They're all liberated souls, but for our instruction they're taking these roles. So she's saying, just see. After pursuing the sense gratification for what? They enjoyed in that airplane for millions of years. And she said, drat. I've been cheated. I didn't get my happiness. We told the story last night of one of the disciples, brother, followers, admirers of Gorkhasharda's Babaji. He went to meet the Babaji in the forest late at night or late in the afternoon. And by the time he'd left and he was going back to Navadvip, he came across a big party, people celebrating. He said, but I don't have time. I have to get up early in the morning to chant my rounds. So they asked him to come and participate, but he was hesitant. They gave him a package of prasadam. They said, you can take this later. He woke up the next morning, he opened up the package, and what was in there? Stool and urine. He said, what is this? These people have given me a package. Who were these people? So he went back to see Gokushwara's Babaji the next day, and he said, Guru Maharaj, I was coming home in the evening, and there was this big party celebrating. They gave me what I thought was samosas, and he said, he was laughing and laughing. He said, this is a party of ghosts. They have cheated you. So Jagannatha Pandit again in his Prema Vivarta, Pishtai Pali Yena Mati Chena Hoya. Maya Brasta Jitara Hoya Se Bhavudaya. A living entity conditioned by the material nature into thinking he can be happy in the material world is exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. Cheated. Another example that we try to enjoy the material world, but in the end we've lost all the valuable time. Prabhupada used to tell the story of a Brahmin who was very, very poor. He had nothing to eat. So out of desperation, he accepted the invitation of one Muslim man. Actually, Brahmins are forbidden to eat in such a situation, house of a Muslim, materialistic person. So he accepted the invitation, he went to sit down, a few little tidbits is all he got, he wasn't satisfied. He said, curse me, I've lost my caste and still my belly is not full. He accepted the invitation, he lost his caste as a Brahmin because he ate in the house of a Muslim, and still his belly was not full. So we spend our lives, we sacrifice our valuable time and energy in the pursuit of sense gratification. In the end, neither are we satisfied and we've lost all our valuable time. And Prabhupada speaks about the worship of goddess Kali. Everything was very refined in Vedic culture. We're thinking even now that we're more advanced materially, but actually, Vedic culture was more advanced materially and spiritually. People knew how to achieve material happiness if that's what they wanted. It was very refined. Because in India, they knew who was in charge of the material energy. Mother Kali or Mother Durga. And they could get sense gratification very easily. Now we have to work so hard, drive into London, 2 hours in the traffic. This is what sticks out of my mind. So long it takes to get into London to go to the traffic. You get to the job, you look like a dog, then you come back. You know, it's just... But Vedic culture, they knew how to achieve everything material that you wanted very easily. Through mantra. Just like in our Krishna consciousness movement, we know how to achieve the Supreme Lord and the benefits of liberation and mystic powers, whatever we require, we just have a mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. We get freedom from reaction to sinful activities. We get moksha, and according to the Haridas Thakur, the main thing we get is what? Love of God, Krishna Prema. Ordinarily, just to get freedom from sinful reactions, you have to do so much. Bathe in the Ganges every day, so many prayers. I mean, to get moksha, you have to study so many books, become big jnani, hundreds of years, thousands of lifetimes maybe. To get love of God? Wow. Vasudeva Samamiti Samahatma Sadulabha. Krishna said, after many, many lifetimes, one who's in full knowledge actually achieves me. Such a position is very rare. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. No more sinful reactions. Jivan Mukta Saruchade. Liberated and well on the path of developing Prema Bhakti. We know the right mantra. So, that's if you want the perfection of spiritual life. If you want material perfection, okay, we can also give you a mantra. You don't have to work hard every day, drive into the city, work at the office. Vedic culture is very refined. Everything is there. Veda means full knowledge. Oh, what is a mantra, right? Just sit in your room, in your townhouse, and just chant this one mantra, and you get everything material that you want. I know this mantra. If you want, I can tell you what this mantra is. Now, everyone's wondering, should I raise my hand or not? I'll tell you next time I come. You can see we drove here in a blue Mercedes Vito van. How did we get that blue Mercedes Vito van? We chanted this mantra. Wow. What color do you want, Pallad?
Blue.
You want a car or a van? Well, let's get a van because, you know, people may think we had a big fancy Mercedes, but we can take luggage and things. Okay, well, blue Vito Mercedes. Okay. With those special airbags. Yeah, okay, airbags, yeah. Seven stage. So we can teach you this mantra if you want to know. Maybe you can use it for your devotional service. Are you ready? This mantra will give you, just like we know the mantra for all spiritual perfection, I can teach you the mantra for all material perfection. Just sit and chant it. Okay, you ready? It depends. I only say it one time. In the left ear. The right ear is for spiritual perfection, left ear is for... Dhanandehi Rupandehi Rupapati Bhojandehi. Did you write it? It's too fast. Lost your chance. Okay. Good for you. It's all the tape. Oh no. I've given the mantra away. Alright. Dhanandehi Rupandehi Rupapati Bhojandehi. Three times you have to hear it. We're not initiating you into this mantra. It's just for your curiosity. Dhanandehi Rupandehi Rupapati Bhojandehi. Ah, it was a green Mercedes. What happened? Well, you didn't say the dehi. Not dehi, dehi. You gotta say it right. O worshipable Mother Durga Devi, please give me wealth, give me strength, give me fame, a good wife, a handsome husband, and so on, etc., etc. Now, Prabhupada actually refers to this. He doesn't give the mantra, but in this chapter he refers to the worship of Kala, Mother Kali or Durga, and how one can achieve perfection in material life by worshipping her. So now what shall we do with this mantra that we've heard this mantra? Shall we become enticed? No. We will follow the words of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Ani deva shahi nai tomara kainino bhai. E bhakti paramo kuruna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki. O brother, I say unto you, if you want to become a pure devotee to the Lord, do not hanker for benedictions from the demigods. Why? Because Prabhupada says, by trying to enjoy those gifts, you become more attached, you become more entangled. And Krishna advises us in Bhagavad Gita that material life is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. Whereas devotional service is like, it appears like poison in the beginning, but it's like nectar in the end. Although sense gratification may appear to be beautiful, Choki Dhadi Lagi Bhalo Keno Namana, pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the mind, we know that in the end it has the poisonous effect. So we'll give it up and we'll take to Krishna consciousness and be very happy chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. But it's not an easy lesson to learn, the poisonous effect of sense gratification. Now it should be noted that Mother Devahuti, she's feeling particularly cheated. Why? Because she did not learn this lesson in the association of her saintly husband. We can understand that the materialistic persons, they may have a hard time coming to understand this lesson. They have no teacher. How can you understand something without a teacher? You try to learn it yourself, maybe you'll get some idea of the subject. But you have a teacher, you can, if you're a serious student, you can understand the matter perfectly. So she's feeling cheated. Why? Because she tried to enjoy sense gratification in the association of her devotee husband. She's feeling, I've wasted my time. Here I had the opportunity for developing Krishna consciousness, but I used the opportunity for sense gratification. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu shastu koi, lava mata, sadhu sangha, sadhu siddhi hoi. What can you get in the association of devotees? You can get Krishna consciousness. But in the association of a pure devotee husband, what did she ask for? Give me sense gratification. So she's lamenting. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also warns us. Shrut bhavi nama mahatmayam yapriti rahito dama. It is an offense to the holy name of the Lord to maintain material attachments even after understanding, hearing so much knowledge on this subject matter. Of course, we all come with material desires. Who comes as a pure devotee? Even Krishna notes. They come to me because they're distressed, they're curious, they're looking for money, they want some knowledge. We don't come. But after some time, we're meant to mature in devotional service and give up these false aspirations for sense gratification, desire the lotus feet of Srisri Radha and Krishna. Just like a young child, a mother and father, they can tolerate so much gibberish, little baby talk, so much time to walk and falling down, babies are breaking things. You don't hold a baby responsible that pulls the thing and all the plates break or whatever. That's okay, it's a baby. Even baby is kicking the mother in the womb. Oh, so sweet. Kicking on the right side, it's a boy. Left side, girl. Kicking on both sides, oh my God, what is it? But the kicking is taking as something tolerable, lovable actually. But if the child grows up 25 years of age kicking the mother, what is this? This is an offense. So we may come to Krishna consciousness, and spiritual master is very kind. He's tolerating. Okay, Prabhupada said, you can make a mistake, he said, but please don't make the same mistake twice. And three times is a sign of insincerity. So Prabhupada is very kind. We've come with our material desires, we're tempting like this. But let us not end up like Mother Devahuti, that at the end, and when will be the end, we don't know, so we should try to get it together very quickly. At the end, we don't say, Tattvam vimukti dhamprapya namum mukseya bandhanat. In spite of having your association, I did not achieve liberation. We have this, a very wonderful story, pastime actually, helping to make us very serious. We're in a very similar situation. She had the association of her saintly husband, meaning she had the association of devotee, and we will see eventually she has the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we also, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have the association of so many saintly devotees. We also have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a variety of forms. We have no excuse for lamenting at the end that although I had the association of devotees, I had the process of Krishna consciousness, I had the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I did not achieve liberation because I remained attached to sense gratification. Let us be very thoughtful in studying and remembering all the instructions that she has given us in this chapter and follow her advice, that to use these opportunities to become fully conscious of the Supreme Lord and become His pure, unalloyed servants. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Aki Srila Prabhupada Aki Dai Gaura Premanandi. So, it's a little late. I know we usually finish a class about 45 minutes earlier. So we'll finish here, and I think that we have another opportunity. I think I have another to speak sometime later in the week.